Hello, welcome back to Say That, the podcast where your big questions get real answers. My name is Matt King here in Chicago. I'm your host. Joining me is Glenn Fitzgerald, the president of Mission USA.
Hello.
Also joining us in Chicago, Jed Brewer.
Greetings.
We're giving you guys a change up on the energy. And also joining us from the state of Tennessee, Lee Younger, one of the pastors at Christ Community Church. Hey, Lee.
Hey, everybody.
See, the more ridiculous we get during the intro, I just have a feeling there's going to be one week where I'm going to throw to Lee and it's just going to be a dial tone on the other end.
just officially be too much.
Yeah. All right. So the way the podcast works is we take questions from you guys. We have ways you can get us questions through email or through a website. Hang out with us all the way to the end. We'll throw those at you. We're going to kick around the room, see if we can get you some answers. Our first one comes from Pup2B on Tumblr. It came into Lee's blog, leeyounger.tumblr.com. It says, I'm a 16-year-old high schooler, and my family, my parents to be specific, do not believe in dating, and I mean never, but how will I know what the right guy is, who is the right guy? There's a lot of syntax on Tumblr questions. I'm doing the best I can. Also, they tell me to wait on God. He will guide me, but how will I know what God wants me to be with a specific person? Because what I know is that the heart can fool people. I know I should not be worrying since I'm still young, but I'm really curious on how this will work. I'm going to go through and synthesize that a little bit. This is a young lady whose parents don't believe in dating, and she's wondering, if you don't date, how do you find someone to marry? Which is a perfectly valid question. Lee, can you kick us off here?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think she kind of, you know, she kind of talks herself through a lot of this. I mean, you know, one thing is you're 16, you're in your parents' house, you know, it's, you know, we got to do what the parents are saying to do. I mean, you live in their house, they're paying for everything. That's not always going to be the case. So it's not one of those deals where, you know, like this means you will never date. You will, you know, because your parents don't believe in it, which I don't really know what that means. Like they don't believe it exists or they, you know, I don't believe in dating. I don't think it actually happens in the world.
There is no date.
It's a myth.
It's a myth. It's never taken place before.
There's
no fossil record of dating.
Yeah, it's a propaganda thing. It's a media trick. But you know, so the thing that I would say on this is, you know, where you say, I know I shouldn't be worried since I'm still young. I think that's a great way to see this. You know, you've got a lot of time to work these kinds of things out. And when you, to be honest, when you're out of your folks' house and you're, you know, away at college, making your own decisions, that kind of stuff. And, you know, you'll be able to look at this. You'll be able to date. You'll be able to go out with a group of friends, one friend, at, you know, one guy at a time, all that kind of stuff, and work out, you know, the way that relationships work. You're going to be able to see other people date. You can take in a lot from watching other people make their mistakes. That's really something that you can do. And I think, you know, I think this whole thing of like, how will I know who the right guy is and everything if I don't get to date right now? And I guess the thing I would say is, just like you kind of talk yourself into this, just relax, don't worry about it, you know, but while you're in this kind of time of your parents saying, you're not going to do the dating thing, you're 16 years old or whatever, this is a good time where you can, in your friendships and all that kind of stuff, you can learn a lot about relationships, even though you're not dating. You can learn how to be in a relationship through your friendships and that kind of stuff. So just because the dating per se isn't happening, it doesn't mean you can't learn anything about what, you know, what to avoid in a dating relationship or what you're not looking for or whatever. So I think that whole thing of just kind of relax, it's not a big deal. You got a lot of time to figure this out. I think that's really good advice you're kind of giving yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Glenn, can you follow up there?
I agree 100% with what Lee is saying. You know, on a certain level, I'm kind of hearing this on two levels. One is, if I were a dad and I had an attractive, sweet 16-year-old daughter, you know,
thankfully the Lord has spared the planet that situation.
Yeah, I would only be bad. But I would be, if some boy came to the door, I would be the guy cleaning the shotgun as he. I mean, my sister would date. I was with my dad. I mean, I've already interned into this.
Yeah.
You know, where he comes in and the chainsaw is going as he comes into the garage to talk to us about, you know, when he's going to have my sister home for the date and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I get the protective part of that, and I would be that guy. I mean, we've all kind of worked with teenagers from time to time, and you know, there are times when you just say, stay away from boys, they're bad, you know, and you know, that's not, you know, you're not helping, but you know, that's not healthy and whatever. so part of me can sympathize, but on the other hand, I think we have to make it super clear. And I think, as Lee said, I think you're coming to this conclusion on your own. This does not make actual sense. You do not go from knowing someone as a friend one day and then being married. That doesn't
Glenn,
happen.
I saw it in this movie.
Yeah, it doesn't. Probably, and I'm real quick. I recently told her the story in my blog of, which is super popular, by the way. I don't know if you know that. I got it in there. And I talked about how my wife and I met, and we met in a little conference, and we had a long distance relationship after that. We were not romantic, you know, during this sort of 2-week conference. We went away. We started a long distance romance. And we actually were engaged before we had our first kiss. We were engaged before we had our first date. We decided to get married. We moved to a town sort of in between us. We got a place to stay. We got married. We moved in there. That we came as close as any two people will ever come from, you know, not having a dating relationship and getting married. That's as close as you come. It was insane that we did it. It was not advisable. I wouldn't say that's in any way ideal or whatever. It was crazy. And you do crazy things when you're in love. That's just how it goes. We were older. We knew what we wanted. We were both in full-time ministry. We both were able to pray that through. We weren't, you know, 16 years old and stuff the way you are. So that's that. But make no mistake, there's going to come a day, as Lee said, he's right. You know, you're in dad's house. And as that great theologian B.B. King once said, you know, I've got the skills to pay the bills. Therefore, I'm sure enough paying the cost to be the boss. And so, you know, he's in charge in that, and that's cool. But there's going to come a day when you're going to be not in that house. And it's important for you to know for your future, healthing is good. It's healthy and good to date someone. That's the right and appropriate and Christian way of finding the mate that you want to get married to.
Yeah, absolutely, Jed.
Well, look, I think. The first thing that occurs to me on this is I think there's kind of an unspoken myth among Christians that if you approach romantic relationships in the exact right way, if you crack the Bible code and do everything just right, you'll find the one and everything will just work out.
Absolutely no effort required.
Exactly right. And here I am here to tell you, I know Glenn will back me up and Lee will back me up. Marriage is hard work.
Yeah, man.
I don't care who you're married to.
That's right.
Marriage is hard work. There is no such thing as such a perfect fit that everything just goes. And the reason for that is you are taking two sinful, fallen, selfish people and smashing them together into a small space and saying, now figure it out.
Boom. That's
See,
right.
Jed, I saw Fireproof and marriage was only hard work until he decided he loved Jesus.
Right.
So I guess my question is, are you calling Kirk Cameron a liar?
Kinda.
Fair enough.
Little bit.
And you know
Fair
what?
Enough, carry on.
She refused to give him pizza, and that was it. He didn't have any respect.
Totally. She didn't respect him. And that was the real problem. Well, look, so that's thing number one, is that marriage is a lot of work. It doesn't matter. I mean, I am married to the sweetest, loveliest, godliest woman I know. It's still a ton of work. There's no way around that. The reason I say that is that I think, again, you've been given kind of this weird, and I don't mean you specifically, I mean, I think Christian young people generally have been given this idea of, you know, you got to crack the code. I'd like to cancel that and say instead, if you want to know what kind of guy to marry, or if you're a guy, what kind of girl to marry, figuring out who you are in the Lord and the kind of work he's called you to is going to suggest certain things about the kind of person that you're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, I was involved. I had been in full-time ministry for a number of years before I met my wife, and I knew that anyone who was going to be with me would have to be down for that, and not just that they thought it was a nifty idea, but that they were, you know, 100% committed. Well, that suggested certain things. That meant I needed a woman who was tough as nails, who just, you know, didn't shrink back from challenges. That meant I needed a woman who was flexible, that could just roll with whatever changes, whatever problems. I needed a woman who wasn't obsessed with comfort. She could deal with roughing it when the situation called for it. Well, what that meant is that when I met my wife and she was Christian and gorgeous and out of my league, but also was tough and was flexible and was committed and was all those things I knew. It was like, okay, well, now I know we're really, really, really looking at a candidate.
Right.
So as much as dating can be and should be a part of figuring out who you're looking for, developing your own walk with the Lord and your own sense of your calling should be as much, if not more, a part of figuring out who you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go to our next question here. This came in anonymously to our Tumblr page, thebridgechicago.tumblr.com. It says, I've got a family reunion coming up. My family drink a lot and always make smart comments and try to pressure me into drinking with them. I made a personal choice to stop drinking a few years ago before I became a Christian, but they don't understand that. Their comments about being sober always turn into cynical remarks about God. I hate conflict, but it always feels bad if I don't stick up for what I believe in. Any tips or strategies on how to deal with this? Glenn, can you kick us off here?
Yeah, this is, let me give you a tool that you can use to understand how to handle situations.
Would that tool be the official Uncle Glenn 2x4?
I think that would be useful. I think here's the deal. For me, in my relationships, I draw lines or delineate a difference between grown folks' business and senseless drama.
Yeah.
Mm.
I can put up with a certain amount of senseless drama. I don't know why. I don't know what that's going to do for anybody. But there comes a point where I have to explain, you know, and I've got family and friends that are like this, that, you know, they're going to drink, that they're going to want me to drink. And to them, I think they feel like that's some way of just unwinding and being myself in front of them and being vulnerable. They need that to be vulnerable, so they want me to do the same thing. And I get that, but I'm not going to go there with you. And you know why? Because you're grown and I'm grown. So we're going to handle this conversation like two grown people.
Yeah.
You coming to me and saying, "Man, why won't you take a drink?" That's what, you know, 15-year-old kids say when they're daring each other to take a sip of their
come on, bro.
Beer. You know?
Bro, yeah. Come on, bro.
Yeah, you know?
Bro.
Yeah. So I think that's the right response, is drawing that line and saying, "Hey, you know what? We're both grown here. I'm not going to have any beer. So why don't you just let it go?" You know, I think being able to draw those boundaries has a lot to do with our faith. It has a lot to do with our Christianity.
Right.
Being able to say, sure, I'm willing to do this or that to be sociable. You know, don't take it the wrong way. I'm not judging you that you're drinking, whatever. That's fine. You're the one being judgmental in this particular scenario. If you want to talk about this stuff and you feel like you need to have a couple of beers before you can be vulnerable about it, I wish it wasn't like that, but okay. But for them to sense from you that you're in their life to be an influence on them and it's not the other way around, that needs to be understood, because if your life is jacked up and headed the wrong direction and my feet are on some form of a solid rock at some point in my life, don't ask me to go your way. You need to start going my way on this stuff. So it's about knowing how to politely draw those kind of boundaries and say, I'm not on your plan today, dude. You're not even talking grown folks business here.
Yeah, for sure. Lee, can you jump in there?
I mean, there's absolutely nothing I could add to what Glenn said. I mean, that was spot on stuff. The only thing that I could really add is I think a lot of times Christians feel like when a situation, you know, it is uncomfortable or awkward or may possibly require some confrontation, then because I'm a Christian, the only thing I can actually do in it is just be nice and not say anything, because that's what Jesus would want me to do. Because my job as a Christian is to be a doormat, you know? And I think that's an assumption that a lot of people take. And I'll never forget, it was probably, Christy and I had probably been married 4 or 5 years. And we were in a situation with some of her family members, and somebody was just kind of coming at me about an issue, and I knew this was a hard thing for my wife to do, but right there in the middle of the thing, in front of everybody, she just got back in their face and stood up for me and shut the conversation down. And it was the most attractive moment ever. I mean, I was looking at my wife saying, "I wish everybody could leave, because right now you and me, girl, you have
Hello.
just won my heart in every possible way. If I had been wondering, you know, at all about, you know, our relationship or whatever, you have just sealed it forever. And I mean, I was over the moon because she just said, you know, what's more important to me than the social whatever's in this situation is my man is more important to me. And I'm going to stand up and shut this thing down right now. And that was one of those moments where I almost levitated. I almost defied gravity. And that's the way that it made me feel. And sometimes, you know, you don't have to be that doormat. You can stand up. Again, I always talk about stuff. My boss, Tom, tells me, you know, I'm like, Jed, the brother that discipled me, he's taught me everything I know, everything I have to say came out of his mouth to me before it came out of my mouth. But he says sometimes in a situation, it's kind of like a tennis match. And if somebody is up on the net hitting those hard baseline shots at you, you have to hit them back just as hard. You know, I mean, you know, you want to do it with kindness and gentleness, but you can't just sit there and take it. Sometimes you have to hit those hard baseline shots right back.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that all my better confrontation analogies come via tennis. Totally. It's a gentleman's game, and it's really the way we should handle ourselves. Jed, can you close us out on this one?
I sure can. And for the person who wrote the question, I can relate extremely well. I actually deal with a very, very similar situation. I'm going to put on my I'm having a word of knowledge right now. I'm having just a prophetic word is coming through. It's coming through. Here's the prophetic word is that you've tried meeting them halfway on this before. And that it didn't work. I just feel in my heart that you have tried meeting these people halfway, saying, well, I'll drink a little bit when I'm around them. We'll kind of meet in the middle, and then that'll make everything okay. And that didn't work. Email me if I'm wrong on that. But I'm just getting a word of knowledge that that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that would seem to imply that these aren't reasonable people. Have our friend's best interest at heart, and they're somehow trying to make the situation all about them.
Yeah, that's exactly what that's implying. Well, that suggests if that's the case, and I could be wrong, I'm guessing here, but I've been around the block a few times. If that's the case, that suggests two things, and this is building on what Glenn and Lee have already told you. The first is just don't go. You don't have to go to this event. Yeah. You don't owe anybody anything. I mean, look, dude, if you're going to mistreat me, particularly now that I'm a married man, if you're going to mistreat my wife, you're going to find me not there for any of your nonsense. Right. I'm not showing up, dude. So that's thing one. And I would really encourage you, and I mean this literally and seriously, I would pray about whether or not God wants you at this event at all. I would talk to the pastor in your life and ask him for wisdom on that, because I think there's better than even odds. It's a good idea to just not be there. But if you're going to be there, you need to be prepared to break it off, dude. If people step to you, the answer is do not ever talk to me that way again, ever again, or so help me God, I'll find you. I will come after you. Yeah. When people are going to misbehave with you, they need a firm word back. And I love what Lee's talking about with Christy. That's the Christian thing. That's the right thing. And here's the reason why is anything less than that firm word, that is going to cause more problems in the long run. If you'll give people that firm word, they know where they stand. Right. They do. And if they do go after it again, that's when you know I'm not coming to any more of these events. Right. But it sets a firm boundary. But my guess is that you've dealt with this before, that you've tried to work it halfway, it didn't go, and it's time for a hard line. It's time for a hard line and enforcing that hard line.
Yeah, and one thing I would add to that goes back to kind of what Glenn was saying about grown folks' time is adult people respect each other's boundaries. You're under no pressure to explain your boundaries to anyone. Your only responsibility is to say, this is how it is. Once again, like kind of like Jed, I would read into that question where you made a personal choice to stop drinking. I would guess that drinking became a problem in your life at some point. And even if that's not the case, you just decided you didn't like the taste of it, that's your choice to make that boundary. Anybody who should have a say in your life doesn't question that and just accepts it because you're a grown person. That would be what we call grown folks time.
Yeah.
We're going to jump to our last question here. This is an anonymous question that came into our Bridge Tumblr. It says, I know that in Christian dating, girls are meant to be pursued, but if a guy I'm interested in is really shy, is it wrong of me to invite him to ask me out? Jed, can you kick us off here?
Well, here's the thing you need to know is they don't put anything I write in the Christian bookstore, and they don't play anything I write on Christian radio, and they don't air any of my videos on Christian TV. So there's a lot of people that are bona fide that would not agree with what I'm about to tell you. But since I'm actually down at the jailhouse helping brothers get to know Jesus, I think I know a thing or two. So here's what I'm going to tell you is if you know a nice young Christian man who's a godly man and he loves Jesus and he's trying to sort things out and you've got, you know, a real interest in him and you'd like to get to know him better and you'd like him to ask you out on a date, here's what you do. I want you to put on some nice clothes that make you look lovely. I want you to dab on a little perfume. I want you to put on a little makeup. And then I want you to walk up to him, kind of, you know, brush against him, put your hand on his arm and say, you know, if you asked me out, I'd say yes. And then just walk on your merry way. Leave it at that. If that dude doesn't ask you out in the next 72 hours, I will send you a dollar bill. Give me your email address and I will send you money. Because here's the thing is, guys, and I think a lot of girls, they find it difficult to believe this even could be true. As clueless as you are prepared to think a man can be, I promise yep, you, yep. men
yes, yes.
men are capable of being so much more clueless.
And teenage boys to the nth degree of that.
Totally, oh, yeah, totally. In fact, I mean, here's the thing you need to know is, yes, there's cowardice. There's just not wanting to do a thing because you're afraid. There's shyness, you know, not wanting to make a move because it's uncomfortable. But, dude, there's also just cluelessness. Yeah. I mean, just good dudes, mean well, lovely, but just, man, they don't know how to get it out of neutral. Yeah. And there's nothing in the right situation, there's nothing wrong, and there's everything right with dialing yourself up and just dropping a little hint. You know, I'd love it if you asked me for a cup of coffee sometime. And dude, right. that will play with that dude's head like you yeah. cannot possibly yeah. believe. Yeah. And here's the thing you need to know is you probably think, well, that takes all the subtlety out of it. For dude, that's subtle.
Yeah,
that's absolutely, he's yeah. going to be calling mm-hmm. his buddies being like, what does that mean?
Right, exactly. That's true. That's true.
Yes.
Some guy would be like, is it a trick? Is it a, what's the,
am I being punked? Is that you know, still a show?
And the friend is going to say like, well, how did she signal. Say it? You know,
did she say, if you asked me for coffee or did she say, if you asked me for coffee? Because
yeah,
there's a difference.
Right. Yeah,
I know
yeah.
in your mind because
by the way, his friend who is utterly equally clueless.
Totally.
Right. Know what yeah, doing. Yeah, you don't know either. Yeah.
Ladies, I know, you know, they are sophisticated and intelligent and with it in a way that we are not. I know you would look at that exercise and feel like I've taken all the romance out of it right. and all the magic, right. but I yeah. promise you, anything less than that, and dude's sitting there going,
Yeah,
I don't really know what to think.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Glenn, can you jump on here?
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I'm old. That's one thing. That's part of what makes me old-fashioned.
You're also fashioned in many ways.
Well, thank you.
Really quite dapper.
I like these guys. I grew up in the South, and I grew up in sort of old-fashioned kind of world. And I actually like that stuff. I think there's a lot of old-fashioned stuff that is very romantic, if that's what you're into. I think it's good for establishing healthy relationships. I think it's great to start a dating relationship without any physical expectations, which is certainly the case when I was dating. I like that idea of there being a difference between dating and going steady. And yeah. going steady is that's when we're into the smooching and the
and there's a commitment there.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah, exactly right. So that there's so dating is just kind of a cool free for all, just anybody would and just we're seeing what's going on there, but then the physical stuff is all for much later. I think that's really smart, really healthy. I think it'd be great if we went back to that sort of old fashioned way of dating. But let's pull up here because one thing that these kids are being told today is that is not. Right.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Look, let's make a distinction here. Draw a line. There is stuff that is a good idea, a bad idea. But when you say it's wrong, you need to show me a Bible verse that makes that
say
clear.
That. You know, that's right.
I don't know if any of y'all, you know, so for me, and one of my Tumblr people, and this was a gal, pointed out the story of Ruth.
Yeah.
And you know, when Ruth went to Boaz, and you read it for yourself, but there
she
was,
put it out there, dude.
There was a suggestion that you'd need to be married to me, and that's what needs to happen here. You know, it was kind of all biblicalized in the story and stuff. But
and he really didn't like that.
Yeah.
He was really opposed to that.
Yeah, he's like, you seem to be really...
it's a little forward for my taste.
Yeah, you know, this is, seems wrong, you know. You know, so yeah, I could almost find you a Bible verse that would go the other way on some of that stuff. So when I tell you I'm old fashioned and whatever, I'm telling you that's what I think is good. I think it's smart. I think it's healthy. I think it's a good way to do it. But I'm not trying to tell you that's the only way that it can be done and that Jesus is against any other way of getting that done. But that's what you're being told. And I think that play, it take everything Jed was saying about very sweet guys who are shy and clueless and need a whole team of guys with them and a whiteboard,
yes,
and a chart to figure out this, what's happening. Take that. Now add to that that you might be ruining this girl forever and that you might be spoiling your future marriage something by the way that you're going about this because God would hate it in some kind of way.
That's I gave away a piece of my heart, Glenn. Yeah, I mean, never get it back.
That, you're talking about a lot of really weird, bad, wrong pressure that doesn't need to be there. And I think that affects a lot of these guys. I think, as Jed is saying, you might have to come up to a guy and say, you know, I'm not on that. I hope you're not on that. Can we just get to know one another and see what, I think you like me. I like you. Let's just, you know, and it'll be cool. And, you know, it's not something physical. Let's just whatever. I don't know how you do that. I don't know what that looks like. I don't think a gal should have to do that. If you're an attractive gal and you love Jesus, there should be a guy near you now saying, hey, something, you know, let's go to the, you know, maybe he's not good looking. Maybe he doesn't have a good idea, but someone should be, you know, I get this every week. I know you guys do too on your blogs, which are slightly less popular than mine.
Hey, that's two this week, folks. That's two.
Somebody's going to think I'm serious about that and think I'm an awful person. I have to stop doing that. That's what my wife will say. People think you're awful. You should stop that. But here's what I'm saying is I get every day something on my Tumblr. I'm 20, 21, 22, never been on a date, never been kissed, never been whatever. And dude, okay, we have to pull up,
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
We've got to look at some point, you have to start dating one another.
Yeah.
You have to start going out on dates and buying flowers and going to the movies and eating popcorn and going to the soda shop and having the chocolate malt with the two straws in it and you're sipping and looking into each other's. That's how you get married, people. That's where babies come from, y'all. We got to get back to reality. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and if you can find a guy who found a malt shop in this day and age for you, I think you should respect that because that's a lot of effort. He probably had to build it himself.
I said it was old-fashioned. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Lee, can you close us out here?
Well, I think one thing that a lot of people don't understand, and a lot of guys don't get this, a lot of girls don't get this, but you can see it happening. If you just observe kind of middle school and high school kids, I see this all the time. And people think that it's, you know, it's only the good-looking guys that get the girl. It's not. It's the confident guys. It's just it's the guys that know how to talk to girls and honestly, it's guys that are ballsy. It's really just guys that have enough confidence to do it. And you know, guys in my high school that you know that were considered kind of players and you know, and that's not a good thing or whatever. But guys that you know had a different girl every week or whatever, they weren't the best-looking guys. I remember this one guy. He was like, you know, he was small, he was awkward, he was weird looking, but man, he was the most confident. This guy thought he was James Dean, and every girl thought he was the greatest thing ever just because he was just so confident walking up and talking. The thing I actually like about this question is where this girl says, if a guy I'm interested in is really shy, you know, understanding that that's who this guy is. One thing that you got to realize is with a shy guy, not only is there all these things that these guys are saying in play, not only are, you know, bless their hearts, guys just don't have a clue, that kind of stuff. Not only that, but he's scared to death of you. I mean, he is scared to death. He doesn't think in any universe that you would ever think he's nice or attractive or, you know, that you would want to be in a relationship with him. I mean, the guy that summons the courage, especially a shy guy like this, that actually manages to summon up the courage to ask you out, this is a guy whose heart is on the line. And if a girl says no, he may not come back out of that shell for another 6 years. I mean, this might be, this is like a comet, you know, that just once every, you know, 180 years, it kind of swoops into orbit. Does anybody want to go out on a date with me? No, that's what I thought. Okay, I'm going to go back over here. You know, and so these guys, a lot of guys, they are shy guys, especially, they're scared to death. So, you know, if you do make a move like this and say, like Jed said, hey, you know, if you ask me out, I would say yes. I mean, you're just giving a guy like that what he needs. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing unwomanly about it. And for some guy, it might be exactly what he needs to get the confidence up to start what might be a beautiful relationship that you'll have for the rest of your life. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Jed, you got something else on this?
Yeah, man, I just want to touch real quick. You know, the last part of the question, you know, she says, is it wrong for me to invite him to ask me out? I knew a young gal that was going through a rough time and actually was in this exact situation. She had kind of made a move on a dude that she was interested in. And she said through tears, and I feel like I've ruined it now because, you know, I started it wrong. And I want to go ahead and just cancel that.
Yeah.
That is not how life works. There are things in life that are out of bounds, always, no question. Having sex with someone that you're not married to, that's always out of bounds.
That's
no,
correct.
No question. Murdering someone, always out of bounds, right, always no question. But figuring out how to start a romantic relationship, dude, there's not one right answer for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Any book that claims it's got the one right and anointed answer, you need to put down and ask for your money back, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk in ministry a lot about the idea of cut to fit versus cut to measure. And what that means is if you're building something out of wood, you can measure all the dimensions and cut those dimensions and have something that just doesn't work. You know, just a rickety chair that, you know, never sits straight. If you cut to measure, you figure out what actually needs to be there to fit. If you, you know, what actually will help the thing hold together. And you do that. That's the way that we do ministry. That's the way that we live life. And that's the way I'd encourage you to approach romantic relationships. If you've got a crush on a shy guy, don't let that shyness be a problem. There's nothing in the Bible at all that says he has to make the first move.
Right,
that's just not in there, dude. If you've got love in your heart for a shy guy, like Lee is saying, help him out. You know, you're signing up to be a helpmate to him in life.
Right.
Well, get started with that process. But don't let anybody tell you that there's this one right, sacred, anointed way. And if you don't do that, then everything's ruined. Because that's just not true. And that's pressure you don't need on top of you.
Yeah, in fact, if you hear that kind of in any walk of life, I think we kind of talk about this on this podcast a lot, but whenever somebody talks in the Christian life in absolutes that don't exist in scripture, that's a red flag. So when somebody uses the word never always, and like Glenn said, if you hear the word never or you hear the word always, but then there's not a clear cut, definite scripture to back that up, that's a red flag. You need to back off that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn.
Oh, this, I'm closing with this. Every time I was nice to a girl and missed the signals, right? And that looks like I'm sort of leading her on in some kind of way, and that's becoming some kind of distress in her life. When I was a kid, and this was 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth, the girl's friends would corner me.
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? Why are you not asking this girl out? She's crying her eyes out because of you. What is your problem? Ask her out. Buy her flowers. Get her chocolates. She likes chocolates. Bring chocolates to the door. If I find out you don't bring chocolates, we're gonna corner you again.
Horsehead.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you say. You're apologizing as you're asking her out. Can we go out? I'm sorry this didn't happen sooner. I don't know things. You know, to me, there's something a bit brutal about that. But you know, I don't know, man. It worked. That was always the failsafe when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think in wrapping this up, there should be a motto for teenage guys, it would be, I'm sorry, I don't know things.
Yeah.
Because we're talking a lot about girls asking a guy out, which is definitely part of this. But when I answered this question on our blog, I pointed out to this girl, she's not only brave, and she's kind of a genius because she's devised a situation where inviting her to ask her out, which Jed was describing in the beginning, where dude still got to man up and ask the question. So there's nothing wrong. Girls, don't hear her say there's nothing wrong with you wanting to be pursued and asked out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that indicates that you are worth effort and planning and all that stuff. And that's great. But like Jed said, if you just, hey, if you ask me out, I would say yes, which, hear me, be clear, that is the bare minimum of direct communication that a guy will pick up on. Yeah, but I think a lot of the problem in these situations is girls think, well, I held the eye contact for like an extra 4 seconds. And then that one time in line at lunch, I was four spots behind him instead of six.
When
and
I texted
I don't know
him,
what more I can do.
Two smiley faces when I texted him.
Yes.
Two.
And I don't know what more I can do. Like, they don't know things. So saying that, hey, if you ask me out, I would say yes, he's still got to do it. Everybody gets what they want. And then if this works and you two get married, you write into us and we'll write your Christian dating book and split the profits with you 50-50.
Heck yeah.
Probably.
Absolutely. So we appreciate you listening. Thanks for tuning in this week. If you have a question for us, you can email us at saythatpodcast@gmail.com. You can write into us at thebridgechicago.tumblr.com. We want to thank a few folks who left iTunes reviews, C-Skills, Scripture Sketches, who has an awesome Tumblr site, scripture-sketches.tumblr.com.
Right on.
And we'll see you guys next week. Just remember, we love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.